Valentine's Day.
I've done nothing to deserve that sort of
nothing
vitriolic.
And it's the day after your birthday, too. I should still, yeah. There should be like a window to where I have to be nice to you.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome my special guest, Scott Slatton, for another week on From the Dome to Your Home.
Hey, I'm happy to know that we've gained another listener.
Really?
Yeah. You told me about...
Mayor Randy Randall from the city of Clinton, where the tea is sweet and the tea is silent.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So, welcome, Randy.
Said he listened to us the other day.
He would love... We need to get him on here to sing.
We need to just get him on the podcast.
Because he has... just wind him up and let him go?
Yeah. Just ask him one question. Just from like... Just for some, you know, commentary on a topic. I would love... Okay. Well... We're going to do that.
It was an 8-year absence. He was gone for 2 terms. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. So he's back in. We'll have to get him back on and get him on the, because, you know, the podcast didn't exist when Randy was the mayor.
I don't think podcasts really existed back then either.
That long ago.
Well, I mean, 8 years. I mean, it's come a long way.
But I think that he would be a great guest, and I think he would offer some great insight into politics at the State House since he has been a part of that.
We appreciated him reaching out and.
Absolutely.
Saying that he's a part of the fandom now.
We have more than one. Do you think we have enough listeners to get some swag?
To warrant a fandom?
I want some swag to pass out like at HLAD.
You've got a budget. Yeah.
And annual meeting.
Well, we had the little stickers at annual meeting.
Yeah.
That was swaggy.
Mr. Producer, let's look into something. Like, I don't know. Maybe a button.
A button.
Or a... Yeah. Personalized Yetis. I'm not a Stanley fan. I'm a Yeti.
We're not going to do that.
I'm part of the Yeti family.
You've got enough Yetis.
I'm sponsored by Yetis.
Is.
I know.
Everybody has.
What if we got some and we had them personalized with from the...
Everybody has more Yetis than they can use.
Yep. That's what we're doing.
Or will ever
Great
need.
Idea, Mr. Producer.
One of mine got thrown in the back of the truck, Big Bubby's truck, and then got buried by all of the debris that piled up over the years. And
had, I bet it survived.
It was full of oil and motor oil and that kind
all
of stuff.
All you got to do is put a little Dawn on it.
It wasn't a Yeti brand. It was like the...
Oh, an off-brand?
Yeah, it was like the Arctic.
Oh,
is that a brand?
Scott.
Whatever that is.
I'll get you a Yeti.
I don't use that one, though.
We'll go with the
I
Yeti.
Use my,
we have a lot of Yeti products,
I use
and
my
we're quite happy with them.
I use my Blow a knockoff Yeti.
Oh, that
the
would
business
be the
licensing officials.
Right.
Yes.
You know, I have one of those that I don't use. You're more than welcome to have it. I gave Russell I gave Russell a vintage City of Casey mug yesterday.
Vintage?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Old logo.
Oh,
had it on my shelf of municipal items that I love. And Russell said, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I collect municipal mugs. And I said, please.
That's not in any way shocking to me.
Not at all. Scott, we're recording this on Wednesday. We had to record a day earlier than we normally do because everyone is leaving me to go to SCAMA.
Not everybody, but
South Carolina
City County Management Association conference.
The winter meeting is this week. So, we are a lot of folks from, my special guest.
Yes.
You're headed down there for the meeting to present. So we went ahead and did it. So the Senate has already adjourned for the day on Wednesday, mm-hmm. but the House is still in session. They are, we'll talk about what they're talking about later on, but just to kind of paint the picture, there have been on Wednesdays during the legislative session, the Senate goes in at 1, which is a regular time. And for the first about month, the House doesn't go in until 2 p.m. because they are allowing House Ways and Means subcommittees to work on the budget.
Yes.
They will go back in February. They will go back to their regular time. Yes.
Well, I was going to say, and those Ways and Means subcommittee meetings are coming fast and furious.
Yeah, they are.
And they're putting them in really tiny meeting rooms. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Y'all are having to cram in there with everybody else that goes to the meetings.
So SEDOT, the Infrastructure Bank, and SCDMV, Division of Motor Vehicles, were all given testimony today making their budget request. And they schedule, and so there's, 50 people wanting to get in to hear these presentations. you know, maybe not even counting their staffs, and they put us in a room, a conference room.
Yeah.
With a round table and like 12 chairs, and there's no way that you can get in there. And then the AV wasn't working. I was trying to watch it online, and it never loaded for me. So I don't know what's going on. It's crazy.
So that...
Sorry for that rant.
That's right.
If anybody at LSA is... Is it LSA? Who runs that?
They have the committee rooms, and then the committees book them. So maybe talk to your good friends at the House Ways and Means Committee about booking larger committee rooms.
They need to do some more logistical coordination there.
Speaking of the Department of Transportation, I saw the breaking news in the state newspaper earlier today about your good friend, Secretary Christy Hall.
Retiring after 10 years at the helm of the agency. Of course, she's been with DOT her entire career.
Yeah,
her
isn't that great?
Public career. You know, and it's disappointing, quite frankly, that the General Assembly and the previous governors who had appointed secretaries that washed out, really it could be argued that they shouldn't have been appointed to begin with.
Right.
It's too bad that Secretary Hall didn't get the chance to serve longer as the secretary. I mean, I'm sure she could if she wanted to keep going.
Right.
But, you know, everybody's got to say goodbye at some point and start living the rest of their lives and enjoy their retirement. So,
well, she has done an amazing job as the Secretary of Transportation. She came in and took that job at a crucial point.
Yep.
And she continues to make improvements and expansions and that we so desperately need. And I'll tell you, she led us through. We've had coastal mayors talk about how accessible and how great she is during hurricanes.
Yeah.
And you know, the 2015 flood. And so she's really been a force.
Well, her signature achievement is pushing for and then seeing through the passage of the gas tax.
That's right.
Increase that was desperately needed because the state had neglected its roads of all sizes and parts of the state for 30 years until she led the charge and was able, with a coalition of partners, of course. But she was the main cheerleader and then overcame that infamous filibuster from Senator Tom Davis from Buford at the time.
That's right, against the gas tax.
And prevailed and is administering those funds as we go forward to see lots of improvement.
Something I like about Secretary Hall is that anytime I have been in a room where she is speaking to elected officials, she is not afraid to tell them exactly how it is.
Yeah.
She is not afraid to speak the truth, to tell them exactly what she needs. She doesn't beat around the bush. She's very respectful, but she lays it out on the table.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
And my experience with her is she's a tough negotiator as well.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, she pushes a hard bargain and eventually she's fair, but you get, you know, you either can get along with her in those and get her to where you want her or help get everybody to the point, and she's very good at that, and I will miss interacting with her. Every time I see her, I say hello and exchange pleasantries, and she will be missed.
Absolutely.
I wonder if she's making plans to do anything outside of government afterwards.
I don't know. She could pretty much do whatever she wanted, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully maybe taking just a little bit of time off.
I would hope so.
Before she starts a new adventure.
Retirement. You should retire and go enjoy yourself and do the things you haven't been able to do your entire working life.
Well, whenever you retire, I will come visit you in Vermont because I feel like that's where you're going to, like, so you could ski.
Wish,
you know,
I could get away.
9 months.
That would be out of amazing.
So this week was a different week for us at the State House. A lot of the same kind of sidebar meetings and, you know, the same kind of negotiating and all the bills and stuff, but it was a very culture war heavy week.
On the floors.
Yeah. On the floors, but also in the lobby, we had Florida Governor Ron DeSantis came to the State House, held a press conference.
After his ticket got punched from Iowa.
The second place. Uh-huh.
30-point ticket punch.
In Iowa. He came to South Carolina. I think I read somewhere where he is foregoing the New Hampshire primary.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
And concentrating on South Carolina. So I would guess that we're going to see a lot of him in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I guess
before the Republican primary.
Did he do a presser in the lobby?
He did a presser. He had some House and Senate members standing behind him, and it was a lot about the transgender issue, women's sports.
Yeah, so he's the king of the culture wars.
He came in on the day where the Senate passed the ESG pension bill that we talked about, I think,
and
in last week's show.
That went really quickly.
Very quickly.
Surprised by that.
Senator Bennett explained it.
Sean Bennett from Somerville.
Right. There were a couple questions, especially from Senator Margie Bright Matthews from down in Walterboro. Mm-hmm. There were some questions, and then the bill passed.
Yeah.
Something else.
What was the vote on that?
I think it was unanimous.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was like 43-0.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of bills that didn't pass, well, but got second reading.
Let me back up real quickly on that ESG bill.
Back it up.
Apparently, as Senator Bennett explained it, that they just codified what was in practice as a state.
Okay.
So
they just made it official,
right? So, you know, as a matter of policy. These state agencies that are doing investments were already not investing in these companies. And so the statute just, you know, codified that.
It's kind of like when in the movie Old School, where Vince Vaughn is at his kid's soccer game and he throws a chair and he's yelling and the referee says, "You're out." And he says, "Let's just make it official." And he grabs a chair and chunks it. He's actually the coach of his son's soccer team. And then hands the clipboard to his wife and walks off the field.
Stupid movie. Leah Remini was his wife.
Yes,
she played the actress. Yeah.
So that happened in the Senate. Another bill. It was amended yesterday. Carried over, but given second reading today by another unanimous vote, was this franchise fee bill?
Yeah, this bill just clarifies that streaming services are not subject to franchise fees.
And that's a federal law, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the Federal Telecommunications Act already prohibits us from collecting fees, franchise fees on those services.
So this was another bill that just puts into practice what already is unavailable to cities, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Right.
Is that what it is? So then in the House today, they started debate on a bill that came out of 3M or Medical, Military, and Municipal Affairs Committee that, prohibited gender transition procedures for minors
under 18,
When I left to come to the studio, they were still going on amendments.
Yeah.
So that's another example. There was another bill in the Senate that got some debate today about prescriptions for minors. Senator Michael Johnson's bill.
That
was on special order.
That specifically those medications would help a child to transition.
I'm not sure of the specifics, Scott. If it doesn't have to do with municipal government.
Yeah.
I try not to let it cloud. I mean, although I do know every word to a lot of rap songs. And so that clouds I'll have brain space for that.
Yeah.
And then I have brain space for bills that we are tracking and that we follow and that we are truly.
Well, that's fair.
We care about it, but that's an issue. We care about it, but I have to have space for bills that we are working on for our cities and towns.
Right. That have an actual effect on
that city government,
many people across the state.
I have to be able to, you know, have space for that, but I will maintain some space for all of the words to Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Jay-Z.
It's very similar to my recall of Seinfeld episodes.
Right. So, exactly. Right? Yeah. You can quote all, I mean, movie quotes. You and I do. We have some space in there for some movie quotes as well. What I really want to focus, because I think this is what a lot of our mayors have expressed an interest to us and council members, is the liquor liability issue.
Yeah.
I know that the Columbia area are seeing a good bit of restaurants and bars close and citing this issue. You went to a special House Judiciary ad hoc committee to hear testimony from on the liquor liability issue.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about who testified and they were saying?
Yeah, I got Erica and our intern David and I went to that, and
Give me a look and feel of the room.
It's you know, one of the large meeting rooms at the State House that has a capacity to seat probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 people.
Right.
Every seat was taken. There were people standing up. The agenda consisted of testimony from seven different interest groups on the topic of the liquor liability insurance problem that we have here in the state. The director of the Department of Insurance testified first. He gave some statistics related to liquor liability and the financial environment that these insurance companies are working in South Carolina. One number that he gave out that kind of stuck out to me was for every dollar that the few insurance companies that write liquor liability policies, for
which I've heard the number three tossed around. I think there are three companies in the state that do.
For every dollar they take in, on average, they spend $2.90 going out. God. That pays for claims and covers their overhead.
Okay.
So the baseline is 100%. 100% right. Baseline means, and forgive me if the jargon's wrong, but essentially 100% means for every dollar you bring in, you spend a dollar. That means you're breaking even.
Okay.
If you're spending less than that, obviously, you know, you're making money. But almost three times as many dollars are going out the door on these liquor liability policies than they are bringing in. And so as a result, insurance companies can't make money, so they're going to leave the state.
The profitability is gone, and so they're not interested. Profitability is gone.
The ones that stay have to really have really high premiums in order to actually make some money. He spoke, then Mothers Against Drunk Driving spoke, the trial attorneys spoke.
Sure.
No one really offered any solid solutions that we haven't already heard, although it was interesting to me that the trial lawyers suggested that changing the joint and several liability laws will not solve this problem, won't have an effect on this problem, which is interesting to me because that has been purported to be a potential fix in some ways going forward. So I'm not sure if I misheard or if they just didn't explain it in a way that everybody could understand. And then, of course, representatives of restaurant groups spoke.
Sure, hospitality community was there.
In favor of changing the liquor liability laws because, again, we've talked about it before, in small businesses and small towns especially, well, heck, you know.
Small businesses and big towns.
In big towns.
Big cities.
That serve alcohol after 5 o'clock can't afford to pay the insurance premiums, and that's the difference between them keeping the doors open or not.
Can you explain to me what they want to change? The cost of purchasing liquor liability insurance, and that is why Mothers Against Drunk Driving is against changing it, because they want them to be
the victims' advocates, if you will, want to ensure that if someone is victimized as a result of being overserved, that they will continue to receive compensation.
Okay.
If they're killed or maimed or harmed in some way. And then, of course, the other interest is, well, how can we make sure that those victims are properly compensated but also not run businesses into the ground so that we continue to lose economic opportunities? No one has really – I've not heard any solid solutions that work so far. I was hoping
that would be palatable to those that are making the decisions.
Right. I was hoping that we would perhaps hear some today. Maybe we'll hear some at the next subcommittee hearing, whenever that's going to be, maybe hopefully next week.
Yeah.
But nobody's really, I've not seen or heard, I'm sure somebody has already, put down tangible ideas for solving this problem going forward.
Right.
I know that the Department of Insurance, during its pre-legislative session briefing back in December, said something to the effect of, well, how about $1 million of coverage in the aggregate? Rather than having $1 million per occurrence, you just have one policy that's $1 million of coverage. And no matter how many times you use that $1 million of insurance coverage to cover claims up to that $1 million. And then if you exceed that, then you're on the hook for it. Well, I don't know if that's going to lower premiums or not.
Right.
But
how much are people paying in premiums? Do you know? Have you heard?
The numbers that I've heard, Casey, range anywhere from $25,000 a year up to $600,000.
Golly.
Because it's based in part, the premium is based in part on your volume of business.
So how big your restaurant group is, or how big your
Halls restaurants across South Carolina, three, however many Halls there are, I don't know how many there are, but those are, you know, big fancy steakhouses. They have high volume, they have high revenues, and so their liquor liability policy is based in part on the amount of business that they are doing as a group, as all of them together, I guess.
You know that Andy has taken, or just, I mean, this was my daughter's 10, and he took her, I mean, when she was younger, to Halls. She loves the steak. She loves the salmon. She loves
She's
it all.
So bougie.
So now, whenever, you know, he's like, where do y'all want to go eat? You know, she says, well, I could go for the salmon and mashed potatoes at Halls. And I looked at Andy and I said, you have ruined this child. Because whenever she starts dating and he goes, we'll just go Chick-fil-A, it'll be cool. She'll be like, no.
Yeah.
I'd like the salmon.
She better
I'd like a rare steak from Halls, please.
She better find her some rich boyfriends.
Really,
then.
She prefer. Well, I told her, I said, Mary Alton, you're going to have to make your own money, sister. I said, you're going to have to, you know, make money so you can eat well, because she does love a good meal of anything, really.
Yeah, I mean, I've eaten at the one in Charleston before. That's a nice restaurant.
Yeah, I enjoy this.
And
I mean,
one here in
I enjoy
good.
Halls.
I'm not a big steak guy anyway.
Halls, so. Tara, all the restaurants around here.
All the bougie ones here.
My 10-year-old loves to go to. But that is something that is. It's not a culture war issue. It is a real
business community issue.
It's an economic development issue
for cities and towns.
And
especially.
I feel like every day we hear more reports of restaurants that are closing because of this issue.
So,
we just heard where a place in Columbia, Rockaway Athletic Club, which is a burger, beer kind of a joint on Rosewood, they're closing now. I've heard two different stories about why, but, you know, we love to go to Rockaway.
River Rat Brewing, one of the original breweries in Columbia,
cited
that as a part of the reason that they have closed their doors entirely.
Yeah. So, and River Rat was a very family-friendly place.
Very much so.
To go and, a real cool place. Took the mayors there one time, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I remember that trip.
Yeah.
That's why I fear that my favorite place, Beer Keller of Columbia, might face those headwinds going forward, but of course,
maybe they need to hire you to get this, bring this solution to a close.
Well, you know, they're actually hosting the South Carolina Brewers Guild event tonight.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you're going.
I've gotten an invitation from the from the operators of Beer Keller to come. I'm not going to crash their party.
I mean, if you've got an invite, if you're on the list,
the Rogan Beer is on tap now. Rogan Beer and Helles are on tap. They're very good. I had the Rogan Beer last night. It was first time I've had that one.
Here's what I want. Okay,
it's rye.
And I don't know which one of you can make this happen. Whether it's Mr. Producer or you, one of these days where we are recording this on a Thursday afternoon, like we normally do. I would like for you to bring in some Beer Keller, and I'd like to have a little tasting.
Sure. Happy to do it.
I want to do that.
What we could do
and
is...
then we can bring in the crumble cookies of the week, and we can have a crumble cookie tasting.
What we should do...
Sponsor a shot on the show.
...is take the mobile studio with us down to the Keller
Should.
Just record from there.
And just sit there with the ambient noise.
Wouldn't that be nice? It is loud in there, Mr. Producer. You're right. We can sit outside.
And he had... Not anytime soon. Because it is freezing cold outside.
Right. Sure.
What else, Scott, that we need to talk about before I really get you with this trivia question?
Well, you know, we talked about it just a little bit last week, and it's continuing to come up again in even more context this week. And this is this issue of communication between cities and counties on land development issues, coordination of growth that's taking place in cities and counties. I cannot stress enough to everybody who's listening, if you're a municipal official, you need to be talking to your county counterparts about your land use, your land planning, your zoning, your development standards, and making sure that everybody understands everybody's position and your intent with regard to development in the future. So I'm going to leave it at that. And okay. That's a message that I'm going to continue to push. I'll be talking about this in probably more detail in the future. I'll be talking about it at the City County Managers Association this weekend.
Sure.
But
definitely Hometown Legislative Action Day.
Yes. Mary Catherine Lawton on our staff, our research and legislative analyst, she's in the process right now of gathering information about best practices with regard to communication and coordination with counties. So that we can offer those as best practices and lessons yes. for everybody else across the state.
And
you need to start making inroads with your county officials.
And some non-legislative solutions.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Like yes. some things we can do.
Yeah.
That can help.
Just opening the lines of communications would go a long way in preventing bad things from potentially happening in the General Assembly. With regard to land use, zoning, and home rule authority for cities.
I feel like we should play the NBC tagline, the more you know.
The more you know?
Yeah.
It's got the star, the rainbow star. Yeah.
Seen that commercial. Anything else before we talk about the trivia question?
I think that's it
for the week. Just a reminder to read the report. I believe that kind of how we've been doing it is you read the report, but you can also get the commentary from us on the weekly podcast to kind of go into a little bit more detail to give you an idea of what else is going on.
Why am I feel like we're missing out on some political punditry about something that happened this week?
Well, the Iowa caucuses were this week, but that was not here.
Secretary Hall is retiring.
I know. I did see where, I think it was on Twitter, that Congressman Jeff Duncan is not running
for
re-election.
Jeff Duncan's not going to run.
Yep.
The South Carolina Freedom Caucus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They announced that they are creating, they rolled out their agenda yesterday, and they're creating something I understand they call fire teams. They're going to divide up their issues.
Is that like what you had when you had like your tanker driver or you had the hose team, the fire department?
We're not fire teams, no.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out during the rest of the session.
Right. There's definitely some tension.
And to that point, we got a message that everybody's really already on edge.
Yes, everybody's edgy
because of their fear of taking a vote that might threaten them.
Right.
Threaten them with a primary opponent.
We've got the end of March. 2 weeks at the end of March is filing, and you can kind of tell that everybody. There was a vote today in the Senate, and it was like Spanky got about halfway down the roll. Until somebody actually voted. Everybody was like, not voting, not voting, not voting. And I was like, that's weird. And then I said, oh, I get it.
Kind of like on the debate stage.
Kind of trying to figure it out.
When somebody looked around at his primary opponents to see if they'd raise their hand.
Right.
Everybody's afraid to raise their hand until somebody else does.
I tell you, just as a friendly warning, buckle up because the pundits, the news stations, everything will be descending upon South Carolina for the first in the South Republican presidential primary.
All the national pundits will be South Carolina political experts.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
It's so much fun.
My dear friend Gavin Jackson from SCE TV is trying to get to New Hampshire. He was in Iowa and had to lay over in Dallas, and now he's headed to New Hampshire. So he is covering all that which for ETV, which is all very interesting. I plug his podcast as
I've never been to New Hampshire.
I haven't either.
I've been to Vermont, but not New Hampshire.
Do they park the car in New Hampshire like they do in Boston?
Yeah, I think so. It's
they
very
do really?
Similar.
Mm-hmm. This is really way off topic. But speaking of Boston, your girl Rachel Dratch from SNL, former cast member.
Yes.
She was on Celebrity Jeopardy last night. We're big Jeopardy fans. Especially my son loves Jeopardy, and she was on it, and she ran two categories.
Really? Wow. Yes. She's smart.
And there was a question about a car pack.
That's pretty
and
funny.
And she answered it, and everybody clapped, and she was like, yeah, if I didn't get
took
that.
Took my family up there a number of years. We vacationed and used Boston as our base of operations, and we spent a couple of nights north of there in Rockpot.
Andy took Drew to Boston when he was seven or eight.
And went to Salty Girl.
Went to Salty Girl.
Seafood.
He went to two Red Sox games. He went to Pawtucket. They took the train to Pawtucket. He did a duck boat. They went to Harvard. I mean, the kid had the time of his life. Have I ever been to Boston? No. No, I haven't. do you remember last week, Scott, we talked about cities named
after governors.
Yeah, after governors. Mm-hmm. Okay. There are some cities in South Carolina that share a name with a governor, but they're not named for the governor.
Share a name.
Right. There are some cities in South Carolina that share a name with the governor, but they're not named for that governor.
Just a surname, or like their first name, middle name, and surname, or surname?
Just their surname.
Just their surname.
Yeah. Just the last name.
What do you mean they share it? Oh, so they have the same.
They have the same name, but they haven't been named for the governor.
They weren't.
But they share a name. Right. Right.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Listen, I'm fascinated by all of this South Carolina history, and I love South Carolina history.
How many are there? Tell me how many there are to start with, so I can.
Three.
Okay, I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
Wow. Three. Well, that's interesting.
And listen, this goes back. Mr. Producer has reached way like before you were born.
Well, right. Yeah. No, I would imagine so. Huh.
Way before you were born. A year before you were born.
I'm just gonna
like
tell
in the
you,
30s,
this, this
40s.
Gonna be, it's going to be difficult. Because I don't really know all of these governors.
Right.
I didn't study these governors.
In the 1840s.
To the extent that
all right,
Mr. Producer
let me
has.
Give you, I'll give you a hint.
Okay, yeah, please.
One of them is a coastal town.
I would imagine so.
Not named for governor, but just share the name. It is one of our coastal towns. It is an island. It's an island in Charleston County. More so on the
Seabrook?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Seabrook Island is not named for the 1840s governor, White Marsh Seabrook.
Right.
What a name.
But I know Seabrook is a South Carolina name. So
White Marsh Seabrook.
All right.
Golly. You can tell my family's from Magby. Hey, Casey Fields, nice to meet you.
Trying to...
local descendants of businessman Robert Seabrook, right?
That's the descendant of...
That's okay. Who Seabrook Island is named for.
Okay.
But he is a descendant of the governor.
Of the governor Seabrook.
Of White Marsh.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Okay. I'll give you another hint.
Please.
We're going to move over to the Savannah region of the state.
Uh-huh.
Horses.
Aiken.
Yep.
Yeah.
Governor William Aiken Jr.
Yep. That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
City of Aiken is named for his father, not him.
Okay. Good.
Okay. And peaches.
Gaffney?
Not Macby.
Gaffney?
No.
Chesterfield?
No.
Peaches stretch across.
I know. I'm staying in the Savannah region.
Oh.
I'm staying.
Oh, Johnston.
Yes.
Johnston.
Excellent.
Town of Johnston.
Johnston.
Former Mayor Terrence Colbert.
Yes.
God rest his soul. R.I.P.
Oh, bless his heart. Johnston is not named for the 30s and 40s Governor Olin Johnston, but for 1860s Railroad President William Johnston.
Hmm.
But they do share a name.
Well, I got them.
If you would have rattled those off with no hints.
I wouldn't have been able to do that.
I would have thrown this piece of paper at Mr. Producer and said, give me some better trivia questions.
Couldn't do that without hints. When you said peaches, you know, Johnston claims to be the peach capital of the world.
I tell you what.
There's a big sign that says, Johnston, South Carolina, peach capital of the world.
I just can't agree with that. When we are doing, when we're doing the podcast this summer, I'll bring in some Macby peaches and you'll be able to tell a difference.
Just like over in Macby and McLeod Farms, when you are going through Johnston, Trenton Edgefield area and you come on an overpass in the springtime.
It's beautiful.
And all those peach trees are in full bloom.
Beautiful.
It is absolutely stunning.
It's gorgeous.
It is a stunning horizon and vista.
It's just gorgeous.
Titan Farms is there, operates right. in that right. Johnston Ridge Spring region of
let's,
the state.
Let's just keep our fingers crossed for no late season freezes and frosts.
Well, we're going to have an early season frost freeze this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
16 for your ambient low in the Greater Columbia Metro. I don't know.
Let
I can't
me ask
imagine
you this.
What it's going to be.
Are you going to hang out in a tank top and shorts and flip flops? Because that's about the temperature where you are somewhat comfortable.
Well, I told you earlier, I'm going to build a fire. I'm going to build a fire when I get home Saturday and keep it going and then see if I can get my thermostat in my living room to shut off, you know, right. not run the heater. And then the rest of the house will be freezing cold and I'll sleep so well. Because right. Dr. Slatton's in Hawaii this week. So
oh, well.
She's out there.
Aloha, Dr. Slatton.
She's out there on vacation. So I get to run the environment in my house is the way however I want to.
So next week we're going to keep going with House Ways and Means subcommittee meetings. We're going to start seeing more bills put on the calendar coming out of subcommittees and committees. We could possibly see more subcommittees starting to happen. Everybody's kind of getting back into the groove. So everybody, I need you to pay attention, read the dome, and be ready when we call you if we need you. Fair enough?
Absolutely. Stand by.
We just need to stand by.
Yes.
And be ready for us to call you if anything comes up.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.